Welcome to Designed for More, brought to you by Common Reason Ministries and Honey Lake Clinic. Join Dr. Timothy Jennings, a renowned expert in psychiatry, neuroscience, and spiritual well-being, as he explores the connections between mind, body, spirit, and relationships.
Hello, welcome to Designed for More, sponsored by Common Reason Ministries and Honey Lake Clinic. I'm Dr. Tim Jennings. I'm joined today with Brett Durbin, one of the chaplains here at our clinic. And our topic today is America 250. What are we becoming? You know, the United States is going to be celebrating its 250th anniversary very soon. And I think this affords an opportunity for us to have this dialogue, not just about the United States, we want to do that, but for anybody watching anywhere, you know, what is it that U.S. is becoming, their nation? How do we as Christians relate to the kingdom of God versus the nations we live in? And what's that balance? I think there's a lot of questions here, but yeah. We're turning 250. Maybe we could start with the question, you know, is the United States, do we see it fulfilling what the founders' vision was, or are things going off the rails? What are the principles it was founded upon?
Yeah. I mean, and just being obviously relatively a young nation, you know, when you look at on a global scale, at least, you know, how far have we come in 250 years? And I'd say in certain ways, it's been an incredible story. It's been a success story. Yet we also see a lot of things that have changed. And I think when we look at what gives a nation its identity, you know, I think that's a great question is, you know, what gives us our identity? And I think it's a lot more than just, you know, our economics and our military and all that, which are all big things. And those are things your nation needs to have in place and to be healthy. But what are our, you know, what values do we share, you know, share? What are our stories? Where do we come from? And I think that's a great question. I mean, what you're asking in terms of where are we from where we started, is it all good? Is it all bad? Is it, you know, a blend of the two, which I would probably argue the latter, you know, but yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on
well,
that.
Well, I'm going to share some of my thoughts and that, you know, I think our audience who follows us knows that I probably attempt and try to see things maybe differently than the average person does. Yeah. And my goal and intentions are, and I'm not always consistent with it, but my goals or intentions are to try to see things as clearly as I can through what you might call a biblical worldview or you know, God's original design, how he would have things, what's actually objectively in reality healthy, what contributes to the greatest human flourishing and development mm-hmm. and advancement. And there are, you know, we talk about design laws, designed for more, the laws like the laws of health upon which reality are built to operate and so forth. And we make distinctions between those and governmental laws that are rules made up. And so when I'm going to do an analysis, I'm looking through this lens through history. Where does the United States fall in the great landscape of Bible and Bible prophecy? What systems did they set up? Are they the same as every other system that's come along? Are they different in some way? Are there some methods that are used by human governments, regardless of the government, that are consistently hurtful to human thriving? Are there some that are consistently helpful to human thriving? I think this might be a conversation. Ev, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, and what we know is that human beings, in order for a human being to develop in a healthy way, certain elements are required. We're not going to talk about the physiological ones today, like food, water, air, okay? Yeah. We're going to talk about the psychospiritual elements that are healthy for thriving. And one of those, and there's a tension between these two, and this is true in families, these principles, we can look at families, as well as nations, as well as psychiatric units, okay? Wherever humans are working, one is there has to be enough structure and order to prevent random chaos and injury. If there's not enough structure and stability, then internal fears, uncertainty, I don't know where to go, I don't know what to do, and there's panic comes if there's not mm-hmm. certain structure and order.
Yeah.
And so you have to have a certain structure. That's what your kids, you set up a playpen. That playpen presents a certain structure, a framework where they can't get out of because of their developmental level. And then they go a little higher and we set up a little guardrail on the stairs. And then they get a little higher and we set up locks on the doors. And we get a little higher. We have a fence in the yard. And you notice the structure is expanding, giving them more room to grow. But there's always a structure to prevent injury for the immature and the childlike. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's a principle that applies for development of our hearts and minds as well. It has to be a certain healthy structure, relationship, negotiate. But if you have too much rules, too much structure, too much oversight, then what happens? It stifles growth. Instead of actually experimenting, exploring, trial and error, seeing how things work, updating, getting joy from new experiences, you get conditioned to live inside the bubble of the rules and what others say. And so you're not thinking for yourself, developing abilities. You're thinking, will I get in trouble? What do the rules say? How do I behave? And it stifles development.
Mm-hmm.
So too much stifling, too little. You get, and if you put that in a society with no rules, then what happens? It's the law of the jungle.
Yeah.
It's chaos. It's anarchy. A society with too many rules, you get drones and clones, basically. You get lemmings that are simply crushed in their individuality, following along what the authoritarian government tells them to do or else.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So these are the big principles. And then you look at the United States. Where does it fall in history? As far as I understand from history, there's never been a government like it.
Yeah.
And what makes it unique? And why has it been successful? Because these principles were designed to create that atmosphere in a sovereign nation that would maximize human liberty, that playpen space, mm-hmm. where you can exercise your autonomy within guardrails that keep you from hurting others.
Yeah.
That was its design. Where the individual was seen as in a certain way, a parent, she's a child, a loving parent, he's a child. And the goal of a loving parent is to create an atmosphere for the development of the child.
Yeah.
For them to flourish.
Yeah, help them thrive.
Okay. And the United States government was established to create an atmosphere for the flourishing of the citizenry. And I'm going to be very precise and specific here in a minute in some of those principles. Whereas every single other human government in history that I know of is established for the benefit of the elites, the rulers,
yeah,
not for the flourishing of the citizenry. And maybe we should actually explore that structurally in history.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? And what made the United States government unique? When the founders of this country established our form of government, historically, if you look through, whether you go back to ancient Egypt and the pharaohs, you go to Rome and the Caesars, you go to the Middle Ages and the kings and queens of the various, or you go to the emperors of China, or wherever you've ever gone, there have historically been three classes of elites that rise to the top and take from the masses, the masses' resources, and they have a goal to keep the masses, that's the population, in a subordinate position, minimizing their development so that they can continue to drain them for the benefit of the masses. And the three elites groups that have done this are the ruling class, which would be the royalty, the kings, queens, emperors, and so forth. They're royal, the ruling class itself. And in the communist government, the ruling class is the Politburo and the people. It's the same dynamic. They just call them something different.
Yeah.
And the way somebody, you know, gets in and out of power is a different schema, but it functions structurally the same. And then that's one group. The next group was the aristocracy, which is the wealthy business owners, landowners, the oil magnates and the coal barons and the shipping barons and the ones who held the money power. The ruling class, the aristocracy. And in Middle Ages and stuff, I'll come back to that in a minute. And then the third class is the priestly class, whether they were tribal shamans, whether they were the priests of the pagan systems, whether they were the popes and prelates, the priestly class, these three groups, historically, if you look through all cultures, you will have them rising up and taking from the masses to retain their position of superiority. And then the laws typically always have exceptions for those groups. The laws do not apply equally to all groups. the royalty would have exceptions. They set the laws. They don't have to keep the laws. Yeah. The priestly class would have their priestly exceptions, and the aristocracy would always have loopholes and or back channel connections that would allow them to evade the you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. And this is how all the systems worked. And then they would institute purposely in these historical governments policies and practices that were intended to keep the citizenry diminished in some way, not flourishing, not advancing, not becoming more capable, not becoming more critically reasoning, because then they could question and potentially overthrow the ruling class.
Yeah.
And so one of these things they would do would either limit, restrict, or control education. So if you look through the history, it's very common that a citizenry would either be not educated at all, or if they were educated, they were educated in a propaganda dogma that would tell them that the royalty, have the divine right of kings, and that you are not royalty, so you can't actually do that, that God has set them apart. There's an indoctrination that would actually teach them to not question and to submit to the ruling authority. Yeah. So, and or not educate at all. And there are cultures in the world today that won't educate women so that women can't question the control of the men who dominate those societies. And I'm going to come back to that about what's happening in America. Because if you want to undermine how America was established, then you will actually implement these same principles. Next principle that kept the masses controlled by the elites, one, don't educate them. So they can't develop their own critical reasoning skills, can't understand how reality works. They have to just follow what the person in authority says. Next would be some type of financial or literal enslavement of some sort. So it was a real physical slaves. In every society of the world has had slaves.
Yeah.
Every society. Or indentured servants or serf class, where you can't own property. You can live on the property of the aristocracy, but then you are restricted in anything that you earn. It's really the owner's, because you have to, you're a serf, and to live in that house you owe him, and it's a form of indentured servitude, but the serf class, and or high debt. You create loans with high interest that they can never pay, and they're always paying on the debt. It's same dynamic. And so the lower classes or the middle classes are constantly sending resources up to the elites to keep them in their elite status. Okay. Next would be the religious fear element, where there's some elite system of mystery or something that they control in some way, and you need to do something in relationship to that organization in order to get mercy, grace, salvation, something.
Yeah.
You see this through history. I don't need to explain that. And then division, to keep the masses divided by multiple different ways, whether it's, male, female, whether it is by race, whether it is by guild, yeah. whether it is by national group, but always dividing the population, so the population won't unite together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Language, another division, culture, all these things. Okay. With that in mind, this is the history. Go back and look at history. This is how nations work.
Yeah.
And the masses are always being exploited by these three classes. The United States government was specifically set up with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to restrain these three powers and give the power as far as possible to the citizenry. And so the division of government into its three branches was designed to limit the abuse of government and the ruling class itself. But if you look at the Bill of Rights, the separation of church and state was to prevent the government from establishing a state religion,
yeah.
to leave the citizen free, but it was not to suggest that citizens cannot promote their religion in every walk of their life.
Yeah.
It was not to restrain them, but it was to restrain the state and to restrain you from having any restrictions of your liberty to practice your religion in the way you want. You couldn't be denied a job or things like this if you weren't a member of the local church, for instance. Yeah. Okay? And then to create the greatest amount of freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom to criticize, freedom to and the voting power, et cetera. So the three, and then with the federal government restraining the and creating the structures of government and debt and so forth to limit the how the aristocracy could exploit the people.
Yeah.
Okay, that was its design. And this is the design that would, as far as a human government could go, create a space for individual development. And this is why the United States has excelled beyond every other nation. Why? The two core principles that allow the image of God to be experienced is religious liberty, civil liberty, freedom. When you have freedom, you can expand, you can grow, you can develop freedom within healthy bounds that keep abusers from abusing. And that was the purpose of government, was not to promote a certain philosophy or internal righteous religious status. That's not what's the purpose of government. The purpose of the government set up by the United States was to restrain the abusers from controlling people, whether they're the one-on-one murderer or you know, rapist, okay, or thief, restrain them, but it was also to restrain the ones who historically were not even realized as the true exploiters of the masses, yeah. Restrain the big powers themselves. That was the purpose of the system of government. However, and if you look spiritually, these two systems represent two systems. If you look at the history of what I've described, that is an exact representation of how Satan wants to rule. If you look in Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14, this says Lucifer wanted to rise up. Mm-hmm. He wanted to take the throne. He wants to rule over with power. He wants the masses to serve him. Contrast Philippians chapter 2, where Jesus, who by nature is God, surrendered all of his power, humbled himself into the form of servant, all the way to the cross, instead of taking from the masses, the true God gives of himself, sacrificing himself for the benefit of the masses.
Yeah.
Okay, these are contrasting systems. And so when the United States was set up as a system to create maximum liberty for the development of the image of God in people, my view, spiritually and biblical worldview, is Satan didn't like this. He likes to crush the image of God in people. And so for 250 years, this system has been under assault in various ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the founding fathers actually wrote, John Adams, second president of the United States, and one of the signers of the Declaration, wrote that this form of government is only fit for a religious and morally upright people. It is wholly unfit for any other group. Why? Why? It would be like saying giving freedom to govern yourself in your family, giving your children freedom to decide whether they will do their homework or not do their homework, go to school or go to the ball field or whatever, or to give your children freedom to make that decision is only fit for a morally and upright child who is seeking in their heart to do the best.
Yeah.
If you have a corrupt child or people who have no interest in doing right, but they want to exploit people, then a government that gives them freedom will only allow them to freely go out and abuse.
Yeah.
And that's what he means. And so why the United States originally thrived is because it established these principles of liberty, and the majority of the citizenry in the beginning were people who had a Christian ethic. That doesn't mean they were all converted to Christ, but even if they weren't converted to Christ, what did the local communities teach? They taught in the schools and the community a certain ethic, a certain responsibility, that your behavior has consequences, that you're going to be held accountable for your actions, that we want to work together as a community. And other principles were brought in as part of the founding organizational principles. That was maybe you were taught this in school, the United States was the great melting pot.
Yeah.
That people from all these other cultures came and were able to assimilate. Why? Not because of skin or history of culture, but because they learned a common language and they ascribed to the big principles that every human being is created in the image of God and they have inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Regardless where they come from, we might believe differently about things in Christianity or some other religion, but we can agree that you have your own individuality, your own dignity, and your own right to make your own decision, your own liberty, and we can support those big principles and values.
Yeah.
And this is what made the United States flourish, the religious and civil liberties that were established and that allowed people to grow and advance and allow Christianity and the true picture of God to actually take a primary role in the principles of how the United States has wielded power. If you think about, if you look at the history, what other nation has had the military power that we've had, won two world wars, after winning two world wars, turned all of those nations back to themselves, didn't take over. Rome went in and dominated and turned those people over. No, they took control. Every other nation basically takes control.
Yeah.
And not only did we turn them back, we spent billions, trillions of dollars building them back up.
Yeah. Yeah, that is unique. I think that's a major point I think a lot of people miss, is that we did do that. Now, obviously, no one wants the wars, but the fact that we handled them the way we did after they were done is very unique. I mean, if you look at history, it's very unique.
And that's the Christian ethic.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying the war was. I'm saying the fact that you don't seek to take, you return freedom, you help build up your enemy. That's the Christian ethic.
Yeah.
Well, Satan hates it. And so it's been under assault in a variety of ways. And you see, I think, a serious resurgence of the three elite power groups in our country today at turning 250 that our Constitution was designed to restrain. We see the ever-increasing and strong federal government that can, when it wants, insert and take liberties from people.
Yep.
Even in violation of the Constitution in real time. I'll give you some evidence of this in a minute. But we also can see the rise of when I use the word religion here, I don't mean the traditional brick-mortar wall church. I mean a philosophy of belief that takes control of minds.
Yeah.
What people are indoctrinated to identify as worth their life, their investment, organizational principles upon which they thrive. This is what ultimate worship is, what you find worth living for.
Yeah.
And there is a destructive, propagandized, non-evidence-based philosophy that has taken root in our country. Started about 100 years ago, 1928, with the Scopes monkey trial, mm-hmm. That pushed the teaching of a creationist worldview. And this is part of the way the devil deceives people. Many in our audience probably think if you teach a creationist worldview, you're teaching a religion. No, you're not. You can teach a creationist worldview through science and show that the science shows that an intelligence was required. A simple example would be every form of life that we know of requires physical matter, requires energy, but also requires coded information inside the genetic material. And without the coded information, there is no life. And there is no known cause of coding information than an intelligence. And so to teach that that the science is most consistent with an intelligence, and there's hundreds of examples like that.
Yeah, agreed.
Is not the same thing as teaching the Christian God or any other God. It's just simply teaching that our best understanding of how reality works is there's some intelligence behind this. And we're not going to tell you who that intelligence is, but we're going to tell you the science points much more strongly to an intelligence than to materialistic, godless, random forces. Random forces alone never organize information in a useful way.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but my point is the school systems have now been corrupted where they teach a philosophy or worldview that is contrary to how reality works. And any reasonable person understands what I just said, this complexity, coded information. There was never an explosion at a factory and you walked in afterwards and found a fully brand new formed encyclopedia. Randomness doesn't create doesn't create order, and it doesn't create useful information in a coded way. Everybody knows that. But then they're taught that this could happen, so what it requires, understand what's going on, it requires those who believe it to stop thinking.
Yeah.
It's not just if they believe the lie, that's part of it, but the consequence of believing the lie is I can't think. which then tells them, well, then how do I know what's right? I have to listen to the person in charge, the teacher, the organization, the professional society. And so now I'm no longer developing my God, the image of God in me, my critical reasoning skills, which is the Bible teaches, Hebrews, the mature are those who develop by practice the ability to discern right and wrong. Well, I'm not doing that. My system has taught me that I need to accept what I'm told.
Yeah.
And so I stop thinking. And then that world philosophy, and that leads to a change in identity. I don't have an accountability to a loving Savior. I don't have an accountability to a loving parent, child growing up. You were just found along the side of the road. Nobody really cares for you. You have no purpose. You were just, there was an explosion in a cave, and we found this ball of mud, and it happened to be you.
Yeah.
Okay? And there's no reason for you to be here. And there's nobody that you're accountable for. There's nobody who has an investment in you being a wonderful person. There's nobody who loves you. This is the message. And it has a deep corrosive effect on the identity, and people don't know who they are. And then on top of that, you, and I'm going to say this, if anybody wants to challenge me, challenge me. There are, in our government, okay, there's federal, but there's state, local. You can do the test on this. There are school systems that purposely construct the system not to educate.
Expand.
In other words, it is not possible without intention to have a school system that for 50, 60, 70 years, the graduates can't read and do basic math.
Yeah.
Unless it's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain systems in our nation that consistently put kids through a system that will give them the most basic, little, write your name, you know, read on a second grade level, maybe learn first grade math, but nothing more, nothing more. They don't proceed more. Why? Well, we want a surf class. We want a class who can't think. We want a class who can't question us. We want a class who's dependent on the elites to tell them. This is a classic historical process where the elites will dumb down or not educate the masses, and then they can control the masses through all types of claims, propaganda, and misinformation, and the masses don't know how to think through it.
Yeah.
And so they just go along with one side, and then they will send propaganda from both sides, from two different sides, to keep the masses at war with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of it.
Yeah.
And so the division. And then the financial indebtedness, you create systems where people will become financially indebted in some way. And it could be direct borrowing money with high interest, or it could be indebted through a program that the government gives money to.
Yeah.
But you're indebted to the check every month now.
Mm-hmm.
But who's in control again? Who holds the purse strings?
Yeah.
And so
do we know, just to ask kind of back on that last point, do we know how big that class is, so to speak, of people who are getting that low level of education?
Probably knowable, because you can do that. You can actually.
So it's an interesting thought. Like how big is this? You know, and because I agree, I know that's happening. It's just I do wonder, you know, what percentage of society is kind of falling into that, you know, that situation where they're just kind of being left behind in terms of education.
I think, without actually going in and making a metric to measure something specific, if you simply look at the people, you know, that align with a certain philosophy that is contrary to objective reality, then, you know, they're not thinking. There was a, I can't remember her name. She's famous. She's got books out and spoken, and I apologize not remembering her name, but a woman who escaped North Korea at age 13. Been all over the media, speaking and writing, and she.
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember the name either.
Yeah, and she tells the story about how she was raised in a system that told her that their leader, who all of us see is overweight and obese,
mm-hmm.
is starving like the rest of them because he's a loving father for them. In other words, he's not exploiting the masses and keeping them down for his own and his political cronies' elite benefit. Oh, no, he's sacrificing himself for all of us.
Yeah.
And she said somebody actually had to tell her when she made it out and was in America, they had to actually show her and say, he's obese. He's not starving. And she said she saw him, but she could never process what her own eyes were seeing because she was so deeply indoctrinated into the lie that he is a self-sacrificial person who's a loving father who's starving like the rest of them. She couldn't see the evidence right before her.
Yeah.
That's an example of a corrupt school system. Mm-hmm. And there are many coming out of systems like this that don't even realize that just like that system in North Korea corrupts them to believe things to keep in power the people who are corrupting them.
Yeah.
You see this happening in certain schools. I'm not going to say it. I'll let people think for themselves. Yeah. But you can see this without question in these school systems that are failing. The people who are running them are running them to keep the people in them from ever learning how to actually think and overthrow them.
Yeah.
And so we're having this conversation related to where are we as a nation? And I'm saying this not because I think we need to become political. I'm saying this not because I think we need to go in and change the structural system. No, I'm saying that because my view is Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my followers would fight. I'm saying this so people can recognize the system they're in. Yeah. And stop agreeing with it, start thinking for themselves, and mentally, emotionally detach from those strings of control and attach, as it says in Hebrews chapter 11, our citizenry is in heaven, that we're citizens of the kingdom of God, and we are in this world, but we are not of the world. And so I'm saying this so people can see the corrosion. Yes, the United States was set up with grand principles. My view is those principles have been eroded, through philosophies and through practices that are actually causing many of the various things that the Constitution was designed to protect to come into operation that is actually inhibiting the thriving and the development of the citizenry. I've made this long diatribe. Do you think, is any part of you going, I'm not seeing it? I don't think that's right.
No, actually. Sadly, no. I wish I could push back and say, well, no, I think you're off on this. But unfortunately, I think you're right on point in terms of even looking at it. I liked how you laid out like the way we started as a movement of people with a very similar philosophy. We, you know, this is why the United States was created. And as you said, it wasn't that everyone had the exact same beliefs or anything like that. It was a bit of a melting pot. But everyone did have a general movement, a general philosophy moving forward. And over time, I mean, I don't know if we can realistically think that's not going to erode some level over time, but then are we wise enough? Are we bright enough to see it when it's happening and say, okay, want this to continue the way it has been and why we've been such a powerful nation and such a successful nation, if we don't
tell you where I think it's going. Why? You've probably heard the statement, if something along the lines, it's not going to be an exact quote, but the idea that if we forget history, we're doomed to repeat it.
Yeah.
Okay. So how is it we could take a nation where we love freedom? We've come from the oppressive dark ages, from the persecutory Inquisition and so forth, and freedom is precious to us.
Yeah.
And in the founding, it was. Mm-hmm. First 100 years it was, and every attempt to bring these socialistic, communistic governments to bear in America have always been rebuffed because the people recognize, no, we individually have freedom, and we don't want the government to be the owners of us, which is what ultimately those governments are. They own everything, including ultimately the people.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it's never made any traction because we recognize first and foremost, God is the owner and we're his stewards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But how can you get a people though then to go along with giving up their liberties like this? You have to first uneducate them.
Yeah.
You have to put them in a system that does not teach them reality, that does not teach them the actual principles, does not teach them the history of what all the governments of the world have done to exploit the masses, as I just laid out very briefly, but instead teaches them that the very government that was put in place to restrain the elites from exploiting the masses, that structure is the exploiter.
Yeah. Yeah, and how much is that actually being taught?
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
What you just explained, and which was really, yeah, I mean, it was extensive, but it was in a very short period of time, less than a half hour. We aren't we aren't seeing that taught over an entire year or 12 years.
What they're
schooling.
Taught is it's that not, the United States is a slaver,
yeah,
is an exploiter, is an abuser, yeah, and it's all twisted and it's all false. Fact, there were slaves in the United States before the United States became its own country.
Yeah.
The United States of America did not institute slavery.
Yeah.
That was already instituted and was instituted in England and in Europe and the African nations and in Rome and in Egypt and in ancient Israel and every history. The Norse people had their thralls. Every nation ever had them. But the United States put in the Constitution a system whereby it would be overthrown. And it eventually was.
Yeah.
It eventually was.
Yeah.
And it was an intention to overthrow it. That's why they wrote it as all men are created equal. But since we got on, I'll just explain for those who don't know the history. No single colony could successfully stand against Britain.
Yeah.
At the Revolution. It required all 13 to unite. Even half of them would have fallen if the other half were against them. They would not have been able to defeat Britain and the other you know, six colonies or whatever was left. They would have not. The only way for the United States to actually get their own autonomy is all 13. The northern colonies were already anti-slavery.
Yeah.
The southern were not. And so if they're going to break away from England and be totally free, they have to get the support of the southern states.
Yeah.
And the southern states wouldn't do it without slavery. And so this is why, and this is how something gets twisted. In the Constitution, it talks about how do you count representatives for Congress? By every so many people, you get a representative. But the slaves were counted as, I think it's 3/4 or 2/3 of a whole person. And people will look at that today and say, see, they wrote in the Constitution that slaves are not equal to a non-slave. For the purpose of counting representatives for Congress or congressmen who will pass the laws in this country on whether you can have slaves.
Yeah.
And so what they actually wrote in was the southern slave states will have less political power so that the non-slave states will eventually be able to outvote them and get rid of the slavery.
Yeah.
That's the reality of what happened.
Yeah.
But it gets twisted today because the people who want to actually enslave hearts and minds, not bodily enslave hearts and minds. They want them enslaved to a philosophy that they can control through hate, through resentment, through bitterness, through all these means we talked about. So they have to sell them a lie that they'll then align with these organizations who will keep them from actually having the image of God restored within them and go along with a system that takes their liberties from them. That's what we're actually seeing happening in certain places in our own country today.
Yeah.
And they push so far. So what I see ultimately is happening in this country, and see if it doesn't over the next few years happen, that the godless forces have been pushing an agenda very hard, of all kinds,
yeah,
that are so contrary to objective reality that even people who are nominally not even Christian, they're just reasonable people, are going, that is crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And where these godless forces run municipalities, you see increasing chaos. Businesses can't run because mobs go in and shoplift. There's no accountability.
Yeah.
Examples. People are actually being paid to be homeless on the street with no sense of let's help them get their life back.
Mm-hmm.
And things are decaying. And so you see a response to that, where people remember historically, things were much better when we actually were, as a people from heart, notice what I'm saying here, as a people in heart, we're a Christian nation.
Yeah.
It was better. And therefore, there's going to be a move. You can hear it. I hear it all. I have an ear. I see it in the media. I see it in certain political leaders, a calling toward getting back to be our Christian roots.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the grand little deception, I think, that people need to be aware of. They're not calling to get back to our Christian roots primarily by simply local community, loving each other like Jesus did, bringing people into fellowship, winning their hearts, and we have just Christ-like fellowship and an organic grassroots level. That would be wonderful. Every person's free to do it or not. No, I think you're going to see the rise of we need to begin from the government, institutionalizing certain Christian principles or practices because things are better that way. And it's the recognition that things are, in fact, better when you have Christ in the heart. That's true. And then trying to implement a method that can never put Christ in the heart. I'll pass a law to make sure that we have Christian practices because we want Christ in the heart.
Yeah.
But you can't practice a law, and you'll actually get more rebellion that way.
Yeah.
Or intolerance.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Can you see that pressure coming?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It could be.
And so we talk about national, you know, nations and nation states, and here we are. What's the purpose of the citizen? How do we relate to that? If you find yourself in a role like Daniel in Babylon or Joseph in Egypt, then you carry out your duties with good Christian ethic. You try to implement policies and positions, in my view, this is point of government, to restrain the evildoers and create the space for the maximum amount of human liberty, but you do not try to, through government, advance righteousness.
Yeah.
Must go to church every week, must, you know, whatever.
List of rules, yeah.
Yeah, or even teaching a religion in school. I wouldn't have a religion in school.
Yeah, I agree.
But I would have reality creation in school.
Mm-hmm.
Because creation is not religion. It is actually how reality works, and all the science points there. But leave people free to, okay, who is that creator? That's up to them to figure out. Yeah.
Well, we can't have anti-religion in school.
That's right.
Because
that's a religion in itself.
It is, yeah. And I think that's what we've seen so much of, at least in recent years, and has changed a lot. You know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, you know, and I feel like it has changed a lot since I grew up, and not in a positive way, you know.
So our government was designed to restrain, and I personally have been anticipating a government that will take freedoms from us since I've read my Bible as a kid. At the end of time, you know, there's a whatever the beastly system is, it's a worldwide system.
Sure.
And all the governments of the world participate. So I've always been of the opinion that the United States will also go against its own constitutional protections whenever that day comes.
Yeah. Things aren't going to go well then.
And I think most would accept that.
Yeah.
But I've had some pushback that could never happen because our Constitution guarantees our freedoms. I would simply point out that in the way I understand God works is that God works both by speaking truth, but always revealing truth in reality because he's the God of reality.
Yeah.
He reveals it to us and how it works this way. It's going to happen. I think we saw that during COVID.
Yeah.
What we saw during COVID was this quick, worldwide, including the United States, violation of liberties. Religious assembly and religious worship was restricted by the government.
Yeah.
Against the constitutional protection. Freedom of assembly was restricted by the government. Freedom of travel was restricted by the government. Freedom of the use of your personal property to run your business was restricted by the government. Multiple freedoms restricted like this. And if people say, yeah, but you're misapplying. Those protections were to protect us from blah, 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 not from a pandemic. The framers never considered a need to do this. Well, in truth, go back and look at your history. From 1775 to 1782, during the Revolutionary War, the Revolutionary Army and the colonies suffered two pandemics,
mm-hmm.
two, the smallpox pandemic to the Army of the North and the malaria pandemic to the Army in the South, both of which, now remember, what was the percentage of people that died from COVID? If you even take the worst numbers, 1% maybe?
Yeah.
It was a very tiny percentage of the total population. Yeah. I'm not diminishing anybody, I don't want anybody to think I'm putting down anybody and
sure.
not empathizing with anybody who lost somebody.
Yeah.
I'm just saying—
A lot of people died, yeah.
But a lot of people didn't die. Okay,
not on percentage.
One percentage of the. But I'm pointing out.
It's low on the grand scheme of things.
I'm pointing out. I just want people to have this in their mind when I give you the data in 1775 to 1782, when the malaria and the smallpox pandemic hit us, 50% of those died.
Yeah,
50% death. Much more virulent. Much more toxic. Much more dangerous. Much more life threatening. Than the COVID was.
Yeah, but somehow they weren't thinking
and
about that.
And they wrote the Constitution during that time.
Yeah, exactly.
And they did not write in an exception for pandemics.
Yeah.
They did not. And so this is not an excuse. My point being is that we've already seen demonstrated to us what the Bible says is going to happen in Revelation will happen irrespective of the written laws. Written laws only restrain people who in their heart have a desire to obey the law. That's a morally and right and upright people that John Adams talked about. When you ultimately raise a generations who no longer believe in God, it's survival of the fittest. It's the kill or be killed, power for power's sake, and they end up in the government, there is nothing to restrain them. They won't be restrained by paper. They will be restrained only by somebody else who's fighting them for power.
Yeah. Well, that's why you see so much talk of, well, that's an old document. We need to change it anyway.
And this is why when you have all of them threatened by a threat, they will unite together to take freedoms.
It just creates, I mean, we obviously see a lot of polarization right now, you know.
And so am I saying this to make people afraid?
I don't think so.
What is the purpose of all this then?
Well, to be just like you talked about earlier, as I think to understand and be educated in what's going on so you're aware and that you can be.
For what purpose though? This is where I'm going.
Well, hopefully to keep the movement moving in a good direction.
So each individual listening and all of your families will make a really purposeful decision. Where do you put your trust?
Exactly.
Your trust should not be in your government.
Mm-hmm.
It will betray you.
Yeah, it'll fail.
Your trust must be in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Trust him and be a upright and moral citizen. Do your due diligence. You be a person of honor. But do not be surprised when governments ultimately don't protect your liberties. That doesn't mean you simply ignore it to the degree you're able to speak the truth and win hearts and minds to reset the boundaries at the healthier place. You can do that for sure, but don't make your internal wellness, your security, your hopes and aspirations, and your ultimate sense of peace dependent upon whether the government will do what you want. It won't.
Yeah. No, that's a great, I think. Even on a psychological level, I mean, from that side of things, how much you said that, I think you said a word there that makes a lot of sense. And that's like, you can have that peace in God and you can rest in him. You can trust in him. You know, if you do put that in a government, if you do make that where you're set on a system that's out there outside of Jesus, you know, how much damage does that do to you over time too? I mean, what have you seen even on a psychological level? What is happening with people? And I would say post-pandemic, I mean, the stuff that happened with COVID-19 was so detrimental. And you saw so much deterioration, I think, psychologically for people because there was so much of this pulling and no one knew what was true. And yet there's information everywhere, but what's right? You know, what do you see with that? And what do you tell people and how to protect themselves from that, I think, in the future?
So myself, many people think that programs like this, I'm being political. I'm not being political. I'm not calling on anybody to go vote for this person or vote for that person or let's get a petition going to change this law or to change that law. Let's get this person impeached or this person pulled from office. No, that's political.
Yeah.
No, I'm showing you the realities of a corrupt system. So as an individual made in the image of God, that you can step back and reorient your inner operations and worldview away from a security in a system, a human government system, and have your primary security, love, affection, principles, reason for living from heaven.
Yeah.
And then with that, you can go out into the world, and then we are wanting to reach the individual people, not the government.
Yeah.
Because when you actually, and this is the whole principle of the Bible, God says he'll write his law in your heart and mind. And the law is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And when we can bring people to Jesus Christ, where they genuinely in heart love God and love others, the need for government to oversee and police the streets goes away.
Yeah.
You don't have to police the streets of a neighborhood where every single person loves the other person and would give their life for them.
Mm-hmm.
You need to police the streets when you've raised a generation to love only themselves and believe that there is no God and it's only as they fight others to get ahead that's success.
Yeah, survive and get yours.
Yes, and that's what we've done. And that's why we have this chaotic situation growing. And this is why it will, and as the chaos grows and the structure collapses, that causes internal fear in the masses. And the fear goes up, you want to feel safe. And so how do you feel safe when your fear is going up? You want more control. How do you get more control if you're not converting hearts? By more law and law enforcement. And that leads directly into the totalitarian governments, that which is the system of revelation.
Yeah.
And people will beg for it because they would rather lose freedoms and feel safe than live in uncertain chaos.
Yeah.
And so this is why we're not being political. We're just telling you how reality works. And you can see how these systems work so that you can go, great, to the degree that I have a role to play, I will use my influence to create healthy structure in my community for the uplifting and atmosphere for the uplifting of people. But my ultimate goal is for myself to love and honor God, and to lead other hearts and minds to put God first and be developed in his image.
Yeah. If there's enough of us to do that, that changes the culture, changes the society too.
And so as we look at America 250, I'm going to celebrate the founding fathers.
Yeah.
I'm going to celebrate the Declaration. I'm going to celebrate the principles upon which it was, because they are worthy of celebrating. I won't celebrate some of the abuses. And the abuses can occur in our country for the very reason that we give freedom.
Yeah.
If we were a dictatorial society, if we actually had kings, you know, no kings protest, we actually had a king that ran his country like Caesar ran Rome or Pharaoh ran Egypt,
yeah,
those protests couldn't happen.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this is the difference between people who have eyes to see and ears to hear. They can discern and think versus those who have actually been indoctrinated into a system where they don't know how to think. They actually participate in that kind of stuff and think somehow there was some merit behind it.
Yeah.
No, it's a propaganda. It's a falsehood. The very actions of being able to carry it out demonstrates that you actually have freedom and there's no king taking it from you. But this is my point. Because we have real freedom like that, those who are abusers and or liars and or propagandists have a wide lane for them to promote their propaganda in, which would not make any traction at all if the truth speakers held some of the same levers of societal communication and power. If the schools had equal representation for people like you and me, if the media platforms had equal representation where the ideas of truth and reality were being broadcast equally, these propaganda views would collapse.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this program today. And wherever you are in the world and whatever nation you are, the principle is still true. We are not of this world. And I encourage you to put your heart, put your citizenship, put your identity into our Creator first. And then from that space, seek to be that person who reaches out and helps others break free, and they find their security in the ultimate reality, the God of the universe who's coming back to set everything right. If you have questions, send those into questions@designformore.net, questions@designformore.net, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on Designed for More, brought to you by Come and Reason Ministries and Honey Lake Clinic. Also, don't forget to check out our other podcasts for more inspiring content.